Today, for the first time and after many attempts, the UN Security Council voted unanimously to send UN monitors to eastern Aleppo to deliver humanitarian and medical aid and monitor evacuations from that city. But with that city near collapse and Russian-backed Syrian troops about to take it from rebels, one wonders if this is too late. Aleppo has become a symbol of the U.S. and the world's failure in Syria, and the finger-pointing has escalated. President Obama was asked at his press conference on Friday if he feels any moral responsibility for his approach to Syria, which the president said earlier had included not putting U.S. troops on the ground. The president said yes.
But I continue to believe that it was the right approach, given what realistically we could get done. Absent a decision, as I said, to go in a much more significant way. And that, I think, would not have been sustainable or good for the American people, because we had a whole host of other obligations that we also had to meet, wars we had already started and that were not yet finished.
President Obama also said on Friday that Russia and Iran, which backed President Assad in Syria, share blame for the dead in Aleppo. But Republicans have been saying for a year it was President Obama who lacked strength in Syria. And last week, his own Secretary of State John Kerry said that not following through on Obama's red line threat damaged U.S. credibility. Let's remind ourselves what that is with Joshua Landis, professor at the University of Oklahoma and director of the University Center for Mideast Studies. He joins us from KGOU in Norman. And Joshua, it's been, 6 years of a civil war, more than 500,000 people killed, millions displaced. When the uprising first started in 2011, remind us, what was President Obama's approach?
His approach was, and I think most Americans believed, that Assad would fall on his own, as had other leaders in the Arab Spring uprisings. And so he believed that he would be on the right side of history, as he called it, if he condemned Assad, said that Assad had to go and he should move aside. And this was part of democracy promotion in the region and being on the side of what seemed to be very broad and popular demonstrations.
Well, then in 2012, President Obama laid out what he called the red line, saying that if Syrian President Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons, the U.S. would intervene militarily. Then it became clear in August of 2013, a year later, Assad had used chemical weapons in rebel-held suburbs of Damascus. And President Obama did not intervene militarily, but there's a backstory here. What happened?
Well, he got the Russians and Assad to agree to cough up all of his chemical weapons, and he got them out of Syria. So he did uphold his red line, which was to not allow the use of chemical weapons or weapons of mass destruction in the world. He said that was a norm that needed to be maintained, and he did maintain it. So he got rid of them, and that was a blessing in a sense to the region, because had he bombed and destroyed the regime, as many of the opposition were hoping he would do, it's very possible that al-Qaeda and perhaps ISIS would have gotten their hands on this very abundant chemical weapon material, including nerve gases and so forth, that could have been used in Syria widely. Well, that didn't happen. So it was a good thing.
But while the Russians helped then, they grew increasingly empowered to help Assad in bombing in Syria. What could have happened in that moment? Because that's what his critics point to and say President Obama could have, should have done something when that became apparent.
Right. Well, you know, we're looking at this obviously in retrospect, where 500,000 people have been killed, and we think we should have done something to stop this. Now, what we could have done is destroy the Assad regime, and that we could have done quite easily. We did it to Gaddafi. We did it to Saddam Hussein. We did it in Afghanistan. We can take out regimes, especially these very brittle, not very powerful regimes that are built around dictators. The trouble is what comes next, and that's what President Obama has always put out there and said, what would we have done to get out of Syria? Would we have made it a better place? And it would have been our responsibility to take care of all those people if massive civil war broke out. And that's been the main problem in Syria. And we see today that the Syrian opposition has over 1,000 different militias, some of which are the most powerful ones, are very right-wing Salafist, and some of them jihadists like ISIS and Nusra, the al-Qaeda militia. So The United States has not been able to unify them. Syria remains a very fragmented nation where people have organized around clan, village, tribe. They have not united. This is not George Washington in America where they've united behind one leader and you get all the different parts of the country together.
Joshua Land is painting a much more complicated picture than those pointing fingers do. I want to pick this up with you again. This story isn't going away. So we will do that. Joshua, thank you.
Pleasure, Robin. Thank you.